what I want to do is follow up with what we began, not just yesterday, but this month we've been talking about the generations. And the whole generations challenge was simply designed to promote and encourage dialogue among the generations. And some of you participated. The ones that have, I've gotten testimonies back as to how you've benefited and how you've grown. And I know yesterday was, for me, incredible. I mean, you know, some things you plan or the Lord leads you to do, you anticipate some things, but you never know what God's going to do with it. And I'm sure all of us seasoned folk were sort of taken aback by what occurred. You didn't see that one coming. It was like a Holy Ghost curveball. And the information that they shared was so significant, and it gave us a sense of our role and position in this season of our lives. And like Brother Miller shared, you know, here you can come to a place where you begin to feel obsolete, or you can feel obsolete, outdated, no longer relevant. But what we've discovered and what we heard from this generation right below us is that that's not the case at all. And in fact, I know the young man that I met with over dinner said to me that, he said, we're not a complex generation. We're not what's being promoted. He said, we just need somebody to talk to us and somebody to hear us. And so we saw that rolled out. We saw that played out. And notice also that it didn't matter necessarily where they were spiritually. We didn't make them have to be, you know, these spiritually mature people to have a conversation. They're just talking out of where they're at. And we learned so much from that. And then, you know, I wish we would have had more teenagers, because the young man, Brother Derek, who spoke to his next generation, which was the younger, what we call the younger generation, now he had something to say to them. And I think the one thing that he said that I remember most was, don't be demeaning. Don't talk down to us. Speak to us and share with us insights. We're willing to listen, but the approach is everything. The approach is everything. And so I was just kind of pondering. I mean, I didn't have time to just develop this on a level that I like, because the Bible has a lot to say about the relationship between the generations. And of course, throughout the Old Testament, it's a constant, you know, reminder that, hey, you got to talk to the children. And the one passage said, not only to the children, but speak to them so that even the unborn can get insight and wisdom and understanding about the God that we serve, so that we don't lose a generation, but in fact it continues on and it grows and it expands. And so the whole idea of the generation gap, you may have seen the video on Facebook with Bishop Kirby and I. We shot that video over a year ago, and I just asked him the question about the whole generational piece. And of course, he and I are 20 years apart or so. And so over the years, I've had the benefit of that mature voice in my life, so I can glean from him and share. And what's interesting is that even today, even now, we're having conversations where he's seen where he missed opportunities to share something just as an older man. Not necessarily having to do with pastoring, not necessarily having to do with spiritual things, just some basic things that he could have said. And so it's caused him at 73 to open up even more. He's having the same sort of experience that Brother Miller's having, where he's realizing that, wait a minute, my voice is weightier than I really realize, and I need to speak more and say some things and be very deliberate in order for it to be a blessing to the next generation. But the one thing that he said in the video was that there really isn't a generational gap. And he even, you know, Dr. Kirby, being Dr. Kirby, went all, you know, into the history of the term generation gap and where it came from and who came up with it and what was the motivation behind that. I'm like, Bishop, I don't need all that. Just Just tell me how to live through my 50s. We're going to be good. But in that, I thought about it too. And I said, you know, one thing that we're guilty of is receiving messages without filter from the world. The things that we just accept because it was said, you know, someone says, well, you know, I heard a report that said thus and so. And the thing that I've heard about, that I've noticed about reports is that you can get one report today and then it's a contradictory report next year. And when I was in the public relations business, we literally, there were companies that we would hire to do research studies to produce a study that can then be fed to the media, and we knew that the media never questioned studies, they just reported news. So whatever the results were, the reporters didn't go in and dig in and say, well, maybe that's not true. Maybe there is no generational gap. They would just report that, hey, there's this generation gap. And so as believers, we have to be careful that we don't simply just receive reports. And what's fascinating about just this month exercise here is that we're actually seeing major light bulbs come on regarding this. And we're realizing and discovering firsthand for ourselves that at least not in the kingdom of God is there a true generational gap. And I look at the children of Israel, which is a great prime example. You see it all over the highway. You know, you got, you know, the youngers with the olders with the youngers, and even two generations down. The Bible talks about multiple generations to come. And then New Testament-wise, you see the relationship between the Father and the Son. And the Son is able to make, you know, a very firm and direct statement that my Father and I are one. There is no gap. My Father and I are one. So even with God, there is no generational gap. We're one. Now, there's a proverb. Let me just share a proverb. Proverbs 20:29. The glory of young men, Brother Gill, listen now. The glory of young men is their strength. It was wonderful to watch the brothers carry the equipment in. Come on now. Carry the equipment out. I just got in my little car and drove on home, minding my little business. And then I thought back, driving in this morning, I reflected. I said, you know, I'm anticipating, of course, what it's going to take for them to get the equipment back, get everything back in place. This piano was in Madison, Wisconsin yesterday. And I said, now we got to have that right because John's coming. And I'm thinking, I'm feeling bad for the brothers that got to get up early in the morning or work last night to put all that together. I know you brothers were probably feeling sorry for yourselves. Whatever. Because I thought back to our beginnings. No, but there's some beginning. There's some pieces of that you don't understand. Number one, I used to pack up the trunk of my car in the back seat, pushing the babies in the corner, and driving 40 minutes to get to the school before service, go inside, set up the equipment, put all the wires together because you couldn't leave it. Sing a song. I would have tracks, and I have a remote. I hit the remote, sing the song, hit the remote, record the message. After service, come back, break that down, put it all back in my car with my children, by the way, for those of you who have babies and you feel like, well, I got babies. They should understand I got babies. We have babies, 2 and 3 year old in the back seat with the piano and the sound equipment and whatever else we brought, and then drive that back home. And when you get home, unpack it at the house. The young men got strength. There are seasons and there are appropriate things that take place in various seasons. And so when you're young, you take advantage of what you have in the strength that God has given you. See, I think we have the opportunity here, and I see God all over it, that we have the opportunity to close the gap. We have the opportunity by the wisdom and grace of the Holy Spirit to close the gap. Young men, you got strength. Listen, we were at the high school for a few years. And when we first came in, we had real favor with the principal. So much so that he did something that doesn't happen to churches, and that is he gave us a closet. All right. Now that sounds small to you.
Yeah. Amen.
But to get a closet means you can lock stuff up and leave it there and not have to pack your car.
Right. Amen.
And it was a decent sized closet. Really, it was literally about the space of this corner right here. So we were able to put all the equipment in, and I mean, we had it packed. We had it stacked, stuff everywhere. But every Sunday, brothers had to come early, many times, without their children and their wife, unpack the closet, set up for the service, go back home, take a shower, put on clothes, grab a baby, grab a wife, come back. That's what we did when we were young.
Yeah.
Er.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Yes, sir.
Then there was a new Pharaoh who knew not.
That's right.
And he said, no, we're not giving you any space. You take your stuff out of here every week.
Wow.
Now, by this time, we've grown from the 7 adults that we started with to about 100 or so at that point.
Yeah.
And so the equipment now is not only in his closet, but we got stuff in other places, and we borrowed some corners that nobody told you. You understand, backstage, around the corner, underneath stuff. And then the janitors, they liked us, so they would sneak some stuff and put it over here for us and make sure we were hooked up. But this guy said, no, y'all got to get all your stuff out of the building. You come back next week, that's what you're paying for, then you bring your stuff. So then we had to go buy a truck.
Mm-hmm.
A moving van. Come on. Where are my witnesses at? We had to, because see, y'all come in here and just sit down in these beautiful red chairs and complain because you got to come around the corner and come down in the basement.
Amen.
So we bought us a truck. So you got a truck, but you ain't got nowhere to really park the truck. That's the other issue now. But the men would come early in the morning, go get the truck, bring the truck to the high school, unpack the truck. And we're talking a moving truck, full.
Yeah.
All of the equipment. Now, this has been there, the chairs have been there, tables, anything, everything, the water, all that was in a truck.
Wow.
Then we got to take the truck after service, they got to pack it down. I felt so bad for these brothers, John. I mean, literally, it would just hurt my heart every Sunday to think that they had to get up and do this. And then, you know, of course, people just show up and have church and just excited. And, don't care, you know. And I'm surprised, honestly, for those of you who are still here, I'm surprised you didn't join another church. I fully expected to come up short. A few Sundays, I thought, we're going to lose a few on this, but for sure, this is nuts, you know? And you talk about for an hour and a half, 2 hour service, it'd be different if we were sanctified, we had a 4 or 5 hour service. Then it seemed like it's worth it, you know? But the glory of the young men is their strength.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Yes.
That was real for us, and it was a wonderful testimony. And you know what? We felt good to be able to pull it off. And we knew together that we would build something that in the generations to come, there would be foundation and history that would cause others to want to jump in and be a part too. Yeah. We knew that if we did that, that God would kiss it. We understood and believed within our heart that God had called us to build something in Plainfield, in the middle of a Plainfield that would make a difference. We didn't know though, even then, we had no idea that we would touch the continent of Africa. We didn't have an idea that by pulling that truck up to the back of that building that we would touch Asia, that we would touch Europe. We had no idea what God had in mind, but the Lord, because of our diligence and our faithfulness to use the strength of our youth, has kissed this ministry and caused us to bless the nations out of a basement. Only God can do it like that.
Only God.
And so here we have an opportunity to close the gap. We have an opportunity to model something that because the church lacks modeling.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Tell it.
The church is in desperate need of modeling. The church is in desperate need of someone who would dare to do something that wasn't dictated by religious systems or world systems, but actually got something from the creative mind of the Holy Spirit and walked it out and made folks see that, you know what, it doesn't have to be that way. If you hear God, if you follow God, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above anything you could ever ask, think, or even imagine. So here we are, we can model this. I don't know how much we recorded yesterday, but I went and just listened to the video this morning. I watched just one of the video segments because I went live a few times on Facebook, and I said, my God, the thing that just transpired is revolutionary. If we can model this, which we are modeling it now, and this thing can catch a blaze, and this is what I'm discovering about God. And if we can remember that taking the credit is never necessary.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who cares if they know it came out of this basement? Who cares?
That's right.
As long as the fire is started.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe God uses us as the fire starter. I look at John, and I don't mean to pick on you, John, but you're here. I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, Google him. Y'all Google him. Yeah. Google his resume.
Yeah.
See all of the people who have been impacted and touched by what he does quietly and humbly.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm not stroking him up. I'm just saying that God has used him in this way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's rounding the corner. He's on his way to being mature.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Gray hair, man. He didn't have gray hair when I met him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But look at now, if we can get a picture of what God does generationally, we won't be freaking out thinking that our gas is about to run out. You won't have the concept of sucking fumes. You won't have the thought that I'm entering the season of obsolescence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
My Jesus.
Yeah.
Preach.
This man, well, come on, you gotta help me. I know. Not on the piano. I want to brag a little bit. What's that one lady? Shalea. Let's start with Shalea. She was his background singer.
Wow. Amen.
Before she was the Shalea you saw.
All right.
Wow.
Amen.
Met her in college.
She was in college.
She was in college. He was teaching.
Wow.
You hearing what I'm saying now?
Come on.
Well, who else? Who else you been writing for? Come on, give me some names real quick. Celine Dion, that's what I was trying to say. Celine Dion, you wrote some stuff for her. Who else?
Michael McDonald.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Come on. Al Jarreau. Patty Austin.
Ooh.
Will Downing.
Y'all ladies like Will.
Come on. Whitley Phipps. Sandy Patty. Who's that?
I was just thinking.
No, what was the other one you just mentioned?
I just said on the gospel side.
Oh, the gospel side, yeah. Of course, Kirk Whalum, Take Six. Kirk Whalum, of course, he wrote and produced and he arranged his stuff.
Fred
Hammond.
Wow.
Smokey Norfolk.
Marvin Sapp.
I'm just saying, Harvest. But if you ask somebody who is John Stoddard, they don't know.
Yeah. Come on, make it plain.
We know.
Yeah.
We know.
They better ask somebody. But the point I'm making is God uses us in different ways,
that's
in different
right.
stages.
Yeah.
Yes, He does.
And it ain't over. I mean, I'm just saying, up until this point,
yeah.
that's the way the Lord has used him as a seed and as a fire starter.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Firebrand.
Yes.
That's in scripture. Firebrand.
Yes. Yeah.
Firing up some stuff. He goes somewhere and do some stuff and inspire folk and send them to the moon.
Yeah.
And then the Lord says, okay, go back and get another one and do it again.
Wow.
Wow.
Young people have the strength, but look at the rest of it. And the splendor, or in one translation, it says, and the experience of old men is their gray head.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in other words, this is saying something.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what it's saying.
Testimony.
It's not only a testimony, but it is an indicator. If you got eyes to see it, that's why I tell these brothers, I say, I'm never gonna dye my gray hair.
Glory.
Somebody say, well, you earned it. No, this is like a traffic signal. No, this is a sign.
Yes, sir.
And if you got sense, if you look up on an old man or old lady or a mature lady or a mature man, because the lady ain't letting it go gray. But if you could catch him in between that. Catch him in between die and get a glance off, or they get a good shot on and that wig slip off a little, you might see what you need to see. It's okay. But this is a sign, this is a signal. This is just like the stoplight or the green light. It's telling you something if you'll pay attention. That gray hair is telling you that there's a source of wisdom right there. There's a source of experience right there. There's somebody who's been there and done that, and if you got good sense, you'll get behind them and try to catch some of what they've already spent. It's not to be disdained, it's to be celebrated.
Yes, sir.
It's a wonderful thing. If you got somebody in your house that's got gray hair, you better give God some praise. Come on now. I'll never forget, true story. My grandfather, he was in his late 70s, I want to say. And you know the respect you had, it was limited physical connection, particularly with that generation. They didn't know how to love you with a hug too much, you know.
Yeah.
They'll say something, make sure you got some food on the plate, on the table. And that was the greatest expression of love, but they didn't do a lot of touching. So he had a stroke, and he had this beautiful gray hair. I mean, it was white, it was wavy, kind of wavy like your head, just wavy, laid white, back, white. Flat. And they had him seated in the chair. And I think I was maybe 18 or 19. I thought, here's my opportunity. And I got behind him. And I just stroked that hair. I said, wow.
Yeah.
Felt so soft, so smooth. It was my opportunity to touch him like I could never touch him.
Mm. Wow.
Don't disdain the gray hair. We have an opportunity to close this gap.
Yes.
Young folk, there's some time. Be patient with us now. Yes. Be patient with us.
Yes.
There's some time that we may communicate it. And you're teaching us now. We heard you yesterday.
Yeah.
We heard the way you want us to talk to you, and we'll try. But, you know, it takes time to turn.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes.
It takes time to turn. We may still bark it out.
Yes,
we may still fuss it out. Because in our angst to see you do it right when we did it wrong.
Yes.
And we feel like time is against us. We feel like if we don't get it to you quickly and firmly, that somehow the time's gonna slip away and we're gonna see you in a place that's a bad space. And so we just doing what we saw mama and daddy do to us, but we're gonna try to change something here because we have an opportunity to model something different. We have an opportunity to close the gap, and we have our hearts set on that. So just work with us.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Bishop. Just work with us.
Yeah.
You work with us, we'll work with you. We can do something here.
Yeah.
Jesus said, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I thought about that in this context.
Yeah.
See, this is an opportunity for the kingdom to visit the generations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Know that we're approachable.
Yes.
You know, and I know sometimes, particularly mature men. You know, sometimes we're preoccupied with life.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the deal
where
we ain't gonna have to work like y'all working.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're processing that. What's life gonna look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brother Greg said 7 years ago he retired. You know, some things you can anticipate, most things you can't with change.
Yeah, that's right.
So it hits you and you have to just respond to it. Well, you don't always know how to respond to it. You're looking at us thinking, yeah, y'all got the paper, y'all got the houses, y'all are all good. No, we're struggling with what's next.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's real.
So don't misread the face, but read that gray.
Yes, sir.
Read the great.
Amen.
It's there for you.
Yeah.
Amen. It's there for you.
Yeah.
So let me wrap this up. Oh, good. I did good on time, y'all.
Word.
Psalm 127:3 says, and then you can visit with it later. It says, behold.
Yes.
You know, I like that word in scripture, behold. Pay attention.
Yeah. Look,
take note. Look and see. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward.
Yes,
verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Man, do you know what this is saying? It's saying that you young folk, you're like arrows in our hands.
Yeah.
See, we got to take this out of the nuclear family context and put this in the kingdom context. Now you're talking about a much bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Part of our problem with the church is we become too autonomous so that we think it's just about our family. We hold to our family. It's not about your family. It's about his family.
Come on now.
All right. Yes, sir. So arrows, you know. You're the arrows in our hands. You're able to speedily go and do some serious damage to the enemy.
Yeah.
He said, blessed is the man whose quiver, whose pocket, whose satchel is full of them.
Yeah.
We need more of you all. We need more Gilbert. We need more Joe. We need more Cavante. We need more Mark. We need more of you guys.
Yeah.
And you guys said it yesterday, Giorgio, we need more of you guys to reach out to one another. As you stated, we need to populate.
Yeah.
We need more arrows in the quiver.
Yes,
amen.
Sir. Yes, sir.
If we can get some more arrows in the quiver, no, now we can shoot you in the right direction, but we need more arrows.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh,
this is the real deal. This is the book. We're right here in the book. It's not like we're making this up. We just need some more arrows in the quiver. We'll shoot you in the right direction. I guarantee you that.
Wow.
Good message.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So we're discovering in this process of many missing pieces. I'm going to give you those and sit down. One of the missing pieces is listening.
Mm.
Just learn to listen to each other. Talk and listen. Now, for my generation, one of the things that we've been most guilty of is we talk too much.
Yeah.
We talk too much and we don't listen enough. Talk, 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 talk. Remember that commercial? The second thing that, second many missing pieces is seeking to understand in the listening. Now, don't just listen, because sometimes we listen and then we respond not to anything that was said. We just start saying what we want to say before they start talking, all but dismissing anything that was stated. So learn to listen, and sometimes it means not responding at all, but take it and ponder it.
Yes, sir.
Meditate on what was said and see, well, where can I place that so that everybody gets blessed? They get blessed, I get blessed, we get blessed, the whole gets blessed, the house of God gets blessed because somebody sought to understand. Number three is there has to be intentionality. That's one of the missing pieces, intentionality. What we did in exercising this generational challenge this month is that we were intentional. Now, I noticed that there was a small number, and it's interesting, always interesting to me, that it's so easy to get church people involved in anything that's going to directly benefit them, but anything that is going to benefit others or the whole is always a struggle to move people along. So there has to be some intentionality about all of this. Anytime you hear the word of God, you know, if you don't check yourself with intentionality and make a determination in the moment, on the spot, that I'm going to do something with what I just gleaned, listen, it's like Teflon. It rolls off of you and it makes absolutely no difference in your life. So in order for us to close the gap, we have to be intentional. Number five is a big one, or number four, actually. I'm just going to skip one. Learning to affirm one another.
Mm.
Learning to affirm one another. What took place yesterday is, I think, that these young men said to themselves, these mature men are actually listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
And find value, come on now,
yeah.
And actually find value,
yeah,
in what we have to say.
That's
as
right.
A consequence, you notice the courage and the boldness,
yes,
that stood up in them. Well, I just want you to know, young folk, we're the same way.
Yeah. That's right.
You've heard enough testimony,
yeah,
to know that there is a feeling of obsolescence that takes place as we mature.
Yeah.
You know, I have my own example that I live before you in relating to Bishop Kirby. My wife will tell you, I will get on a plane just to fly to Atlanta, just to go to Starbucks with him. Just to let him know that he has someone who values his presence, first of all, and then the words he shares, because the window's closing.
That's right. That's real.
The window's closing.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, that thing that I wish I could call my mama up and ask her.
Yeah.
That I didn't have the sense to ask her when she was pregnant. So now I got to rely on my brother's account. You know, he has to give me information about what happened. I'm the baby. So he said, well, now, you know, daddy used to do this. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I can't ask mama. The window closed. But affirmation is very powerful. We need your affirmation too. We need you to say thank you for what you shared. I heard what you said.
Yeah, that's right.
That helped me. That helped me with my marriage. That helped me with my money. That helped me. That helped me.
Yeah.
You feel me, y'all?
Yeah.
Okay. We need to set our expectations higher of one another. Set our expectations higher. There's more in you than I see on the surface. That at a casual glance, I could miss what God has put in you. So I'm going to set my expectation higher. And I know for certain when it comes to young people, even I'm talking about the little ones. And any ministry leader in this church would tell you that I've been singing this song for the last decade or more. We got to bring them up. But we got to set the expectation higher. Because we keep giving them these little menial assignments, thinking that that's all they can handle, and they're brilliant.
Yes, they are.
They're brilliant. Yes. They got all kind of stuff locked within them. And then what happens is, and we see this all the time, you see it, we toy with them in the church, and they leave the church and go and do something incredible.
That's right.
And then the world gets the credit for it, but it was birthed right here.
Yeah.
Anything that I've ever done, business-wise or whatever, it started in the church.
Yeah. Wow.
I started promoting our choir. That turned into a PR business. Next thing you know, I'm doing business for Fortune 50 corporations. It started in the church. Thankfully, I did have a pastor that said, go ahead and do your thing, even when it was stupid.
All right.
Learning to affirm and then setting our expectations higher, okay? Trust and taking more risk in the relationship. It's another thing that we can do. Learn to trust. That even if they make a mistake, it wasn't because they were trying to hurt anybody. It's a process. Failure is a part of the process of success. So we got to learn to take risk in these relationships. Learn to take risk. Jesus too, is a risk taker. Jesus took his disciples just, hey, come on, follow me. There was a pre-qualification. He asked about education, degrees, experience, background. He said, just come on and do this. And in fact, here, let me show you. I'm going to take two of you guys, two by two, and send you out. You're going to do this.
Wow. Yeah.
And they did it. And it was incredible. All kind of miracles. And,
yeah,
man, they came back. They were so fired up. They're like, oh, my goodness. Okay, I guess they could have said, oh, my God. But anyway. They were blown away by what they were able to do. But Jesus was a risk taker who affirmed them and sent them out to do more than they even knew they could do. Boy, what would happen if we did that? What would happen if we did that to the next generation and that generation did to the next generation? What would happen? Blow the roof off. So finally, forgiveness, having forgiveness and a redemptive attitude. Forgiveness with a redemptive attitude we have to have. So some of you younger folk, you're angry with a father or a father that wasn't there. Some of you fathers are trying to make the next generation pay like you paid.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Yep. So we have to have a redemptive attitude. Say, okay, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did the Father do?
Yeah.
Peter blew it. Big time. Multiple times. Jesus comes resurrected and goes to Peter and said, now Peter, do you love me? Forgiving and redemptive. Forgiving and redemptive. We got work to do. We can do it in Jesus' name. We can do it by his power. Let's get her done. God bless y'all today.